All right, let us move on. We are going to bring on an author and someone I've enjoyed talking baseball with. His name is Ted Reed, R-E-E-D. And he wrote a book called Furillo. And if you know Giant Dodger, and I thought it'd be so appropriate as we go down to these last 22 games of Giants-Dodgers, and with four games separating these teams, this is what 1951 was about, 62 was about, 82 was about. It's Giants-Dodgers in September, nothing better. So Ted wrote a book about one of the sort of the unsung Dodgers, but a real rival of the Giants in the 50s. And Carl Furillo is the name of the book. You can get it at McFarland Publishing, and McFarland does a great job. It's on Amazon as well. And if you're up near the Book Tree in Montclair, David can make sure that can happen for you. So, Ted, welcome to the show. And Carl Furillo, Giants, Dodgers, baseball, that name stands out to me. Tell us about the book.
Well, I started the book when I was in college, and as I wrote Carl's autobiography for my senior thesis, and 40 years later, I got it published. So I was happy about that. Unfortunately, Carl died in 1989.
Tell us about his background. Go ahead. His baseball background and the Giant Dodger thing, and why Furillo was important to you.
Well, that Dodger lineup of the late 40s and early 50s was one of the greatest, most iconic lineups in the history of baseball, of course. And, you know, there are several Hall of Famers, and it mirrored a lot of things that happened in our society at the time. A, people came back from World War II. B, in 1947, Jackie Robinson came up. C, in 1955, the Brooklyn Dodgers won the World Series for the only time in their history. And then 2 years later, the Brooklyn Dodgers were gone, and they mirrored the societal trend to moving to the West when they and the Giants moved west.
And absolutely, Carl Furillo was in the middle of things in the 50s, and we looked at the great arms at that time, and of course, you came to the games early, and you got to see the outfielders throw. Furillo had one of those arms like Clemente, like a Vladimir Guerrero, like, you know, the names you hear about. Furillo was a tremendous defensive right fielder.
So he was, and if you make any list of the top right fielders in baseball, Carl Furillo is still on it, even though he hasn't played for 50 years, which, of course, raises the question, why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? He was a .2994 lifetime hitter. He was one of the greatest defensive right fielders ever. He was a winner who played for a winning team, and he was in the middle of baseball for the 15 years that he played.
Yeah, Ted Reed is with us. The book is Furillo, F-U-R-I-L-L-O, and again, Giant Dodger baseball. This guy was in the middle of it. Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? Well, he never had enough hits. He won a batting title. Not a powerful hitter in home runs, but he was a steady hitter. So I put him in the class, as my good friend Ken Korak says, one of the all-time goods, I'd say.
All right, I'll buy that. But he was also a great defensive player, and we do sometimes recognize defense in putting people in the Hall of Fame, such as Luis Aparicio.
What did you learn about Furillo? And now, wasn't he involved with some incidents with Jackie Robinson when he first came in?
Yeah, Furillo was a guy who got a bad rap in baseball that he didn't deserve. I don't think I have time to discuss the whole thing now, although it's detailed in the book. But when Robinson came up, there was some opposition to him on the Dodgers, mainly from the Southern guys. Carl was a rookie. They went down to Panama to train in 47 because they didn't want to train here in the South. I'm in Charlotte. And the older Southern guys went to Carl, who was a kid, and say, what would you do if Robinson tried to take your job? And Carl said, I cut his legs off. And that was taken wrong. And after that, the movie The Jackie Robinson Story was made in 1948. And in there, they portrayed an Italian kid who was opposed to Robinson until Ricky talked to him. And then he came around. So because of the movie became to be seen as reality. And Carl came to be seen as a person who was opposed to Robinson, which he wasn't.
Carl Furillo, in later years, Ted Reed is with us. The book is Furillo, really very enjoyable. And we're going to get to an incident with the Giants here in just a second. But later on in life, didn't he work on sort of skyscrapers, the World Trade Center and things like that?
He worked on the World Trade Center. And when I wrote my thesis, that's one of the places I went to interview him. He was an iron worker on the World Trade Center. He had tried to get a job in baseball. But the second thing that happened to him that was unfortunate, besides the Robinson incident, was that he got discharged unfairly by the Dodgers. He was injured. They didn't want to pay him. So he had to go to a hearing with the commissioner, and then they agreed to pay him. And therefore, he was out of baseball. He would have liked to have been in baseball. He lived in Flushing at the time in 1969 when the Mets won the series. And his old roommate, Gil Hodges, was managing, and he still couldn't get a job. I do just want to add that later on, Peter O'Malley made amends to Carl, and he died on good terms with the Dodgers thanks to Peter O'Malley.
All right, Willie Mays told me this story, and I assume that you know some of the facts of it, and I know it's in the book, that he gets into a big fight with the Giants, and was it 52 or 53?
53,
and it's in September, right around now, and that's why I love this subject, because this is what Giants-Dodgers is all about. And with 22 games to go here, there's forever. If this thing gets closer. But he got into a fight with the Giants, and someone tried to hit him, and then Leo said, put one in his ear, and he charged the dugout in a big fight, and apparently Leo DeRocha stepped on Frillo's hand and broke his hand, and he was out for the rest of the year.
Broke his finger, yes, and it was very unfortunate. It was 1953. Carr was leading the league in hitting. He might have gone on to be MVP, but he missed all of September, much of September, because Leo stepped on his finger. However, Carl did come back and play very well in the 47 series.
All right, well, 47 was before this. 53
I'm sorry. 53 series.
Very good. All right, Ted, why Frillo? What did you learn about Frillo? And I know we've just covered a lot of topics about his life. He was a great fielder, a clutch hitter, got big hits for the Dodgers, won a batting title. Giant Dodger, he was one of the Magley Frillo guys. I mean, this was the lore of Giants Dodgers in the 50s. But what did you really learn about him?
I learned that he had throughout his life, he had a very honest approach to life, and he always wanted to tell the truth. And this is one of the things that got him into trouble. He always wanted the things to be right. That was and he didn't want to vary from that. He didn't want to compromise. So I learned that. Also, Carl was the archetype of the guy with a working man's ethic. He went to work. He played hard. He worked very hard to become a great defender off the right field at Ebbets Field. He would have guys bounce it off of there, and he would try to position himself, and he would practice for hours to make sure he could play the fence. So he brought a workman's attitude towards his game. The other thing I learned was that Carl was perceived by some people. Carl only went through the sixth grade, and some people perceived him not to be smart. But I learned a lot about his life after baseball. When he'd give people financial advice, Carl managed his money very well. Carl stayed in New York to work after baseball. But when he got enough money, he went home to live in Stony Creek Mills near Reading, and he worked and he got a second pension. He worked as a night watchman for 15 years, and he got a second pension, and he managed money very well.
Boy, Carl Frillo, a night watchman. I like that image. Very good. Bill James was a night watchman. That's how he had plenty of time.
That I didn't know.
To think all that stuff up. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you, and the book is terrific. You could get it at McFarland Publishing, and if you like Giants, Dodgers stuff, this guy was a classic. And if you talk to Willie Mays about Frillo, anybody else from that era, and they'll tell you the same thing. So you could get it at the Book Tree in Montclair. Do you have a website or anything that you'd like to mention to anybody?
I'd like to mention that I was a reporter for the Fresno Bee and the Sacramento Bee, and I now cover airlines for thestreet.com and Forbes. And there's one thing I want to tell you, Marty, that we were talking about. March 8, 1922 was the birthday of both Carl Frillo and Al Gianfrido.
Ah, very good. And we'll talk about him a little bit later. Hey, great to have you on. He made the great catch off Joe DiMaggio in the 47 World Series.
And then he never played baseball again.
Nope,
that was in Major League Baseball again.
And he lived down in the around San Luis Obispo, I think. This is another guy.
He died in California in 2003 in Solvang.
Yeah, that's another one I wish I could have met. Well, I enjoyed the book. I like having you on, Ted. You know your stuff. If people want to follow you on Twitter, it's at Ted Reed, R-E-E-D-N-C, at Ted Reed N-C. So good luck with the book, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay, great talking to you, Marty.
All right, good at this time of year. I like to have this stuff on this time of year.